Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Apostle Paul gave an intimate word to Timothy in his second epistle to him in chapter 4, verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly. And in verse 10, we find the reason for Paul's eagerness to see Timothy. For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age. This is Matt Miller, and we've come to the conclusion of our life study of 2 Timothy today. I'm happy Dick Taylor could join me for this special time. Dick, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come by the studio before you leave the country on one of your many trips.
Oh, you're welcome, Matt. I'm so happy to be here. What a privilege to be involved in this concluding message on 2 Timothy, this book on the inoculation against the decline of the church. And we'll see today. This is a very powerful inoculation as we conclude this book.
Dick, this is a very pleasant program today that I think our listeners will enjoy very much. Can you give them a foretaste?
Well, we can see here that Paul's co-workers were not involved in an organization, but they loved the Lord, they loved one another, but in some cases, rather than loving the Lord, they loved what was called the present age. We'll get into that during the program. This is a very serious thing. So we're not involved in an organization in this kind of way, hiring and firing and this type of thing. We are involved in the coordination and the life of the triune God and his precious body. And in order to be people who cooperate with the Lord and his inoculation against the decline of the church, we need to take care of the life. We need to take care of the oneness. We need to take care of coordination with one another. And we see all these things. And one of the most critical things, Matt, here, is that we would be people who love the Lord and love his appearing. If we really love the Lord and love his appearing, we're not involved in organization, we're not caring for this age or anything like that. Nothing would replace our precious Christ. So we would be those, rather than loving this present age, we would love his appearing. We would be those who care for one another in a proper harmony, and most of all, we'll be people who exercise our strong spirit with grace to enjoy the Lord to the uttermost, so we could be filled with him, be built up together with one another in him, and bring him back forever.
Dick, I appreciate that, and just one little P.S. to that. The verse that this whole book ends with is, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. So that's why I just wanted to underscore your comment. We need to exercise our spirit because the Lord is with our spirit. And the grace is also there.
Amen.
Let's go to Witness Lee now for today's life study of 2 Timothy, program number 8.
Now, we come to the last passage of 2 Timothy from verses 9 through 22. Verse 9 says, be diligent to come to me quickly. This is a very loving and intimate word.
Amen.
Such a word could only be given to such a loving and intimate one. Timothy was so intimate, so close to Paul. Why be diligent to come to me quickly? There's a reason. For Demas, who was my co-worker, has forsaken me because he has loved the present age. The present age is just the world before your eyes. The world, the cosmos, is composed with many ages. nearly in USA, every decade is an age. You add all ages together, you have the word. What the present age? Just the very word right now before your eyes, attracting you, tempting you. Demas loved such a part of the world. So he forsook the apostle. You have to see the contrast in these two matters. Loathing the Lord's appearing and loathing the present age. This divides us. If you and me, we all love the Lord's appearing, we would take side with the Lord. If we love the present age, we take side with the world.
Dick, how's this for a contrast? Loving the Lord's appearing, which we just saw in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 4, and taking sides with the Lord, as opposed to loving the present age in verse 10 and taking sides with the world.
Yeah, this is a very good contrast, and it shows us that Satan's main way of working against us as the lovers of the Lord is to try to bring in the attraction of the world to us, to cause us to be attracted to it and to leave the Lord and to go after the age. So who's behind the age? Satan. And what is the present age? It's the world at any present time causing us to be distracted and taken away from Christ as our first and our best love. I'll never forget, there's a brother named Trench who did a book on Greek synonyms. And for age, he just said, it's all that mass of ideas, maxims, hopes, speculations, desires, wishes that are at any one time present in the world, which we are always inhaling and inevitably exhaling. Well, that means there's something in our daily life that we can be inhaling and exhaling every day other than the Lord. But this book, 2 Timothy, is an inoculation against the decline of the church. And this book unveils that Christ is the wonderful Lord we'll see, who is with our spirit to be enjoyed by us. So what do we want to do moment by moment, day by day? What do we want to do, Matt? We want to inhale Him. We want to exhale Him. We want to be occupied with Him, occupied with Him alone. So while we live in this world and we're in this world, we are not of this world and we don't love this world. We don't love the age, but we love the Lord and we love His appearing. I don't know how you feel, Matt, but I thank the Lord from the bottom of my heart for the ministry of the age to unveil God's economy in such a way to us, to show us Christ in such a precious, precious way, and His goal, the body of Christ, so that He could have His expression, He could also have His bride, so that He could come. And even as we're doing this radio program, Matt, I have the sense we are not just here putting in time, just doing a program. We want the Lord to come back. We want Him to come back in our lifetime. And so we want to love His appearing, and we want to take sides with Him, and we want to fight for His interests until He comes. Otherwise, we love the age, take sides with the age, and fight for the age. This is terrible. That means we love the enemy. But we're here to love the Lord, be filled with the Lord, saturated with the Lord, built up in the Lord, so that He could have a beautiful bride constituted with Himself, and He could come, He could appear. I like this verse, those who loved His appearing. And the footnote says, this verse is a warning and an encouragement and an incentive to us. So we want to be those who don't love the present age, but we love the Lord and we love His appearing. So this shows us there's a real contrast between these two. And our salvation is to love the Lord and His appearing and love Him with our first love.
There were two words Witness Lee used in describing the world in this force or this power, this system out there of Satan. He said it's attracting you and tempting you.
That's right.
That's really a good description of what we're faced with as believers. And we see that Demas was tempted away and attracted away. But the Apostle Paul loved the Lord's appearing and was charging Timothy also to love the Lord's appearing.
Amen. So all of us, by getting into this word, are realizing we all need charge to love His appearing and to be attracted to Him alone. Lord, attract me today. Lord, I love You.
Thanks, Dick. Let's go on to the next section of the life study today at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, and just B. Witness Lee's going to read it, but it says, "And Trophimus I left at Miletus sick." Let's go on to Witness Lee and see an insight into this ministry of life that the Apostle Paul was conveying in the New Testament.
Trophimus I left at Miletus sake. In the New Testament, you can see for the church to be raised up, in some places, the miraculous gifts are needed. But for the church to stand any kind of decline, any kind of persecution, the miraculous gift of power just doesn't work. Only the inner life, the eternal life that we all have to hold on, only this is prevailing. It is by this life that we stand the decline. It is by this life that we stand our persecutions. This is why it is somewhat strange. It seems that Paul has no gift, and Paul doesn't know how to pray. Rather, he only knows how to take a little wine, the natural way. I don't drink too much water. What would you say? In these two books, the writings are very human. Very human, very ordinary, very common, nothing spectacular. Nothing with a big show.
Dick Witness Lee's talking here about the way of life that is not spectacular. I think this may be a surprise to many of our listeners that Paul just didn't heal Trophimus, but he left him at Miletus sick. Why didn't he just heal him, Dick?
Yeah, that's a good question, Matt. And it brings us to the point that our brother was making here, is that Paul was not in the realm of just doing outward miracles, but rather he was really in the realm of the eternal life. And the only thing that can stand against decline, against decay, against corruption, against temptation, against this present age is the eternal life. What we need more than anything is the eternal life. Along with this, you know, in John chapter 2, the Lord did a tremendous miracle when he changed the water into wine. Well, I think a lot of people would like to have been at that wedding, don't you?
Sure.
Wow, what's going on here? Water's changed into wine, and it's tremendous wine. Well, but at the end of chapter 2, you see what the Lord said. He said, many were following him, but he says, many of you are following me, but you're following me because of the signs and because of the miracles. So he says he did not have confidence in them. His confidence was not in those who follow just by outward miraculous signs or things like that. And then chapter 3 of John starts with, but there was a man called Nicodemus. And there the Lord says, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You had that birth. But that which is born of the capital S Spirit, that's Christ, that's the triune God, is your spirit. And that is Christ coming into us to be our life. And later he says, he sent his only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. So the whole emphasis of the Lord's ministry was life. Now the emphasis of Paul's ministry is life. And the Lord even realized the danger of just doing miracles. The greatest miracle we have to see is the miracle of life. From the life study of Galatians, there's an illustration about the miracle of regeneration, which means we have Christ as the indestructible, incorruptible, resurrection, wonderful life in us, which is just God himself. And what a miracle. You know, if we could do an outward miracle here, right away we could have maybe all the news people here checking it out. But the greatest miracle in the universe is that a human being could be regenerated by God, that you, Matt, and that I, and that Paul and all the others could what? Could receive Christ as the divine eternal life. This is the great miracle. Suppose the headlines of the newspaper tomorrow said, miracle, dog receives man's life. There they would be, interviewing the dog, saying, asking how it would be. How is that to have a life like this?
And he's speaking in human language.
Yeah, he's speaking in human
language.
That'd
be a real miracle.
That'd be a real miracle. But how about us? We're human beings, and we have received the life of God.
That's a bigger miracle than a dog becoming a human.
This is the greatest miracle in the whole universe. That's why Paul was not so interested merely in healing the sick, but he was interested in always giving everybody life. That doesn't mean we want people to die. It doesn't mean we want them to be sick. But the main emphasis of the ministry of the age is the eternal life. Christ as the life-giving Spirit. This is the great miracle. May we stand with this life, enjoy this life, love this life as our first love, and we can stand against all the decline and be the Lord's testimony for His coming.
You know, Dick, in the context of 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's talking about an inoculation against the decline of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to know why he's putting such an emphasis on the ministry of life as opposed to an outward miracle. The outward miracles, the
right.
power, miraculous gifts
mm-hmm.
will not solve the problem of the decline in the church. You need life. And that's one of the inoculations against the decline of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Lay hold on the eternal life."
Amen.
And 2 Timothy 1:10 says, "He nullified death and brought life and incorruption to light through the gospel." So there's a focus and a context here on life.
That's right.
We're going to have to go on to the next part of our program, and we'll come back and fellowship some more. The final segment is a very encouraging ending, not only to this program today, but also to all of the writings of the Apostle Paul. The last verse he spoke was a critical verse. "The Lord be with your spirit."
Amen.
"Grace be with you."
Amen.
Let's go to Witness Lee.
I like the last two verses because you have the Spirit here.
Amen.
Number one, "The Lord be with your spirit."
Amen.
What the next? "The grace be with you." Paul was a good writer. He concluded his writing with his two main factors. Number one, a strong spirit. We must know how to contact the Lord in our spirit.
Amen.
And don't forget that grace follows you. Grace be with you. I feel my burden is discharged. As long as you know that you have such a spirit.
Amen.
With which the Lord is.
Amen.
And as long as you know that something wonderful,
Amen.
Something excellent,
Hallelujah.
Something marvelous,
Amen.
That is the grace,
Amen.
Which is the very triune God processed to be all-inclusive, life-giving, indwelling, compound spirit.
Amen.
I tell you, as long as we exercise our spirit
Amen.
And enjoy this grace,
Amen.
We'll have the reality.
Amen.
Dick, this is a great conclusion, not only to today's life study, but the entire book of 2 Timothy and also all of Paul's epistles. Really hope this is being conveyed to our listeners as much as it is to us here in the studio.
That's really true. Oh, Matt, what a way to conclude these two sentences. The Lord be with your spirit.
Grace be with you.
Amen. This is tremendous. This shows us that our Christ, who is the wonderful life-giving Spirit through His death and resurrection, is no longer merely the Christ in the heavens. He's in the heavens, but He's not just the objective Christ, but He is today the life-giving Spirit, and this one has come into our spirit. So this wonderful triune God, this wonderful Christ, who is the life-giving Spirit, is now with us in our spirit. This is the life that we were just talking about. Where is this life? This life is in my spirit. I received the Lord, Matt, in 1958, but for years, because I didn't have the truth of this ministry, and the Word wasn't open to me, I didn't even know where the Lord was. I invited Him into me, but I didn't know about my spirit. What a tremendous truth. This wonderful one who's coming, this wonderful one who enables us to stand against the decline, this wonderful one who wants to constitute us and fill us and saturate us with himself, is now with our spirit. No wonder chapter 1 says, fan into flame. Stir up your spirit. Fan it into fire. The spirit of a strong spirit, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sober-mindedness. So this is a tremendous way to end. It's almost like he's saying, I've written this to you, and I've written that to you, but just in case you forget everything else, don't forget verse 22. The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. I tell you, if you see that the Lord is with you, and you practice to enjoy him, that's what grace means. He's processed. He's consummated. He's the all-inclusive, compound, life-giving spirit. He's with us to be our life supply for our enjoyment. If we would just practice every day, every moment to exercise our spirit in many ways, such as, oh, Lord, I need you. Lord, I praise you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. And we would do a little singing. We do praying. We fellowship. We preach the gospel every way, exercising our spirit. Then what happens? Because we have him as grace, as enjoyment, we also have him as reality. In John 1, it says, when the Lord came, he came with grace and reality. So as surely as we enjoy the one who is with our spirit by exercising our spirit, we'll be people who are of grace. And as surely as we're of grace, we'll also be of reality. And that means we will carry out and be included in, participating in, cooperating with the Lord to be in the reality of his New Testament economy, which is what? His plan, with his dispensing, with the goal of his expression. So God's plan gets carried out, we enjoy the dispensing of this Christ into our being, and we become the goal, which is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, for his testimony and for his satisfaction in love. So what a way to conclude. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. So I hope all of us are infused by this tremendous verse, this tremendous conclusion, to realize this sums up everything. This wonderful Christ, who is the not only the coming one, but is also the indwelling one as the life-giving spirit, needs to be enjoyed by us. Then we're enabled to stand against any decline of the church, be filled up with him, and to make ourselves ready as the bride of Christ for his coming, and to build up the body of Christ by coordinating with him and one another for his expression so that he could come. He would have the reality on this earth. Well, what's the key to reality? The reality is grace. Where's grace? It's with the Lord. Where's the Lord? He's with your spirit. So let's exercise our spirit.
Dick, I really liked your comment that if the Apostle Paul, it's like he's saying here, if you forget everything else,
right,
don't forget this one verse.
Amen.
The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
We better sing this, Matt.
Well, you know, actually, Dick, let's sing it. But I wanted to say, you know, Witness Lee commented at the end of this program. We didn't put it on the radio, but he charged the people listening to write a song.
Yeah.
And the song was written to this verse to put it into melody. Why don't we try to sing it?
Let's try to sing it. Let's do it.
The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.
I think just to repeat the connection to the beginning of the program, we need to love his appearing. And what better way to love his appearing than to enjoy him and to sing to him?
That's right.
I really believe that there's been some grace with you, some enjoyment through this program. On behalf of Dick Taylor, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening.